Will you open your Bible with me to Mark chapter 9, verse 33 through 5? Mark chapter 9, verse 33 through 35. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it that you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, calling the 12, and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all."
Good morning, church. Great job as always, Roman. Thank you very much. Great song service. Thank you, Josh. And I agree with you. What a wonderful worship we've had. What a great time to come together with people who have the same hope, that same confident expectation of a home in heaven, and look forward to that time when we can come together and spend eternity together as fellow believers and recipients of the great crown of salvation through Jesus Christ. Welcome to Glenpool Church of Christ, a place where we place a premium on belonging and learning and serving at the expense of being people who treat ourselves like customers, who think we're here to be served and to be pleased. And so we're glad you're here in person. We're glad you're here electronically. We're glad you're here in whatever form we can have you. And thank you for being a part of our worship today. As Josh did mention, the subject for today, this is our sixth lesson, I think, in the subject of the call, of God's calling on our lives, God's purpose for us, how we fulfill his plan for us while we're on this earth. In our sixth lesson, we talk about being called to submit. We wear the name Christians, and those of us who wear the name Christians, we do so in statement to others that we are Christ followers. As Christians, we're saying, I am a follower of Christ. And what that means is we seek to be Christ's representation here on earth. We seek to be his words, his presence, his love, his ministry. Well, Christ is our model for submission. This is a challenging subject. This is a very difficult, well, it is for me. I don't know if it is for you or not, but the humility that's required for submission is really challenging. And so I thought it might be good, at least for me, maybe for you as well, if I look at my namesake, the person by whose names I carry, and see his model of submission that is my model to follow. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, he submits to the Father. You remember he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying fervently, so much that the sweat drops from his face like drops of blood. And he says, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. If there's any other way we can do this, if we can accomplish your will, any other way, let's find another path." But you remember how he finishes that prayer, "Yet not as I will, but as you will. Not my will be done, but yours." So Jesus submits to his Father. Jesus submits to the civil authorities. In Luke chapter 20, the scribes and the chief priests are trying to back Jesus into a corner. They're trying to discredit him. And so they've asked him about paying taxes. You know, if you ever want to get on somebody's bad side, you just have to talk about politics and including taxes. And next thing you know, you've offended somebody. And so they were trying to put Jesus in that spot. And so they asked him, is it okay to pay taxes, for believers to pay taxes to Caesar? And his answer in Luke chapter 20, verse 25, is give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. You give to him what belongs to him. If his face is on the coin, that's his. But you give to God what belongs to God. So he was willing to submit to civil authorities. Jesus willing to submit to his parents. In Luke chapter 2, there's a discussion of Jesus as he went to the temple and with the family. He didn't go home with them. They searched for him. They found him. They were worried. And it says, then he went down to Nazareth with them. Jesus went down with his parents and was obedient to them. Jesus submits to his holy. And so he submits to his parents. He also submits to his bride. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 25, it says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So these are our models for submission. These are Jesus modeling for us what it looks like to submit to different people in our lives, to different authorities in our lives, to different loved ones in our lives. And so that's going to be our model for this lesson this morning, in our call to submit the way Jesus submits. And so we like Jesus, are called to submit to the kingdom. We're called to submit to the kingdom. We're going to read from James chapter 4 in just a minute, in just a second. If you want to turn to James chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 4. Forgive me. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why the Scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Let's stop there. So in verse 7, in the kingdom of God, believers are called to submit to God. Verse 7. And this call to submission is rooted in the fact that everyone who calls himself a Christian, in fact, everyone in the whole world, but more importantly, those of us who call ourselves Christians, are called to make a decision whether we're going to follow the world or our loyalty is going to follow with God. And we didn't read the passage, but in the first couple of verses of this same chapter, James chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, there are indications, if you want signs that you're following and your loyalty is with the world, they're there. The signs that our loyalty is with the world is with fighting, chapters 4, verses 1 and 2, with quarreling, with coveting, with cheating, some translations say of adultery in verse 4, with killing, and with pride. So if you want some clues as to where your loyalties lie, if any of these seem to fit, then you can understand that you're following the path of the world. But loyalty to God is exhibited in submission, verse 7, in purity, verse 8, in humility, verse 10. So the submission to God begins with submitting to him and to his commands. In fact, in 1 John chapter 5, Scripture says, beginning in verse 2, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. One of God's love languages is obedience. If we want to tell God how much we love him, we want to show God how much we love him, one of the ways that he speaks that, one of the things that speaks love to him is our obedience to him. Not only that, we're called to submit to Father and to the Son, to Christ as well. There's three times in Scripture, in John specifically, John 14, verses 15, verse 21, verse 23, where Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. One of the greatest commandments is to love God, not one of the greatest commandments. The second greatest commandment is love people. And Jesus said, if you want to know how to express love for me, obey my commandments. The Father said, you want to know what love for God is? Obey his commandments. So this is a love language of God. Obedience is our visible evidence of truly loving our God. And since that's true, the opposite must also be true. Disobedience to God is an act of lacking love, of failing to love God, refusing to love him. So one of the things we do as Christians is we submit to the kingdom, pardon me. Another thing we do as Christians is we submit to the church. Submit to the church. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 17. I keep asking, this is Paul writing the church in Ephesus, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Let's stop there. So by his incomparably great power, verse 19, God the Father raised Jesus from the dead and appointed him head over everything for the church. What that means is that as Christians, as Christ followers, those who wear his name, we not only wear his name because he's our Savior, it's his blood that saves us, it's his sacrifice that's our sacrifice, he took our place on the cross. We not only look for him as our Savior, but we also look to him as our Lord, which means the master, the ruler of our lives. We submit to him. We submit to him as the ruler of our lives because he's the head of the church. He's the one that gives us direction by his incomparably great power. Now, we're going to step a little deeper into this subject, but a little bit away from that Ephesians passage. And we're going to talk about submission within the church, not only as to Christ as the head of the church, but also submission to others within the church family as well. Christians are called to submit to the elders' authority. This comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It's not on the screen, but Hebrews 13, 17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you." Our elders have the very difficult task of seeing to it that we as a body of believers are receiving biblical teaching and that we're moving in a godly direction. That's their job, and they will be held accountable for that on Judgment Day. Not only are they going to be held accountable for what they do as individuals, they're going to be held accountable for their shepherding of us as a flock. And so we are commanded as the congregation, as the flock, to follow our elders and to follow their leading in such a way that their very difficult task is a joy and not a burden. Now, church, I think that means we can't just tolerate them. We've got to support them and encourage them and love them and bring them to a place where they are glad they are our shepherds rather than regretting it. In fact, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, that elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor. And then it kind of gives us a little idea of what it means about directing the affairs of the church well, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. So if I'm reading these scriptures right, what it says is everyone who's willing to put themselves on the line to be a shepherd deserves honor. But those who are willing to do that and take on not just the task of shepherding, but also the task of preaching and teaching are worthy of double honor. I've never been an elder. I have no idea what that's like. I have some little inkling of an idea what it's like. And I've never met an elder who doesn't agonize over their role in the church, who doesn't stay up nights praying for us, thinking about the body of believers, wondering if they're leading the way God wants them to lead, if they're doing what God wants them to do. Church, that's enough of a burden of its own. The work they try to do, the leadership they try to provide. And if someone's willing to do that, then they deserve honor. But if someone's willing to do that and teach and preach and take on even more responsibility, it says they're worthy of double honor as well. So we submit to our elders. And interestingly, you and I are also called to submit to our fellow Christians. At the end of Paul's letter to Corinth, the 1 Corinthians, at the end of that letter, Paul singles out one man in his family, Stephanos. Stephanos and his family, and he holds this family up as people who are some that we need to honor. In fact, he says the whole household of Stephanus has devoted themselves to the service of the saints. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15. They've devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Now, just think about that for just a minute. Think about the letter 1 Corinthians. Paul's writing to this body of believers. And no offense to the believers in Corinth, but it almost seems like if there could be a mistake, they made it. And so the whole letter is just, let's talk about communion for a while because you're kind of messing that up. Let's talk about marriage for a while because you're kind of messing that up. Let's talk about fidelity for a while because you're kind of messing it up. Let's talk about spiritual gifts for a while because you're really not doing that right either. Let's talk about love for a while because that's really what's going to hang on. Let's talk about all and how unpleasant it must be for Paul to write to this church that needs all of this correction over and over again and go, oh, but by the way, there's a really nice example in your congregation. There's a wonderful family there. Now, can you imagine the kind of trouble that somebody would get into today if they stood up here and said, you know, we all need correction here, but there's one family here I really want to lift up. We'd get in trouble from everybody who was receiving correction, and we'd get in trouble by the one family being lifted up, going, what are you doing, shining a light on me? And this is what Paul does with the letter. And he shines the light on Stephanus and his family, and how comforting it must have been for him to go, there's really somebody here that we can hold up. Somebody we can hold up that needs to be a model for us, that needs to be someone that you need to emulate within your church. That's Stephanus. And Paul, he says, he and his family have devoted themselves to service of the saints. He goes on to say in the very next verse, Paul, pardon me, I'm sorry. I think I'm just going to use the allergies as an excuse not to mow my yard anymore. I mowed yesterday, and I'm going to blame it on that. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 16. Paul commands the readers to submit to such as these. Here's Stephanus and his family, these ones who serve. And he says, now submit to these people and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. Do you hear that, church? Now, there's problems here. There's struggles, and we're not getting some things right. But there's somebody here that's a worker bee. My word, not Paul's. Somebody's a worker bee, and that one needs to be lifted up and encouraged. Not only that, we need to submit to that one. I've not really spent the time I should on trying to elaborate in my heart, my mind, what that looks like. But if we have this man in his household who in verse 15 says they've devoted themselves to service, and then in 16 we're told to submit to them, and everyone who joins in the work and labors at it, it appears to me what Paul's saying is, man, there's some really good, strong worker bees among you. They're not gossips. They're not lazy. They're not taking advantage of me. They got their head down and they're working. Submit to those people. Now, what does that look like, church? What does that look like at Glenpool Church of Christ? Now there's some people who work. There's some people who work at and labor at the church who devote themselves to service. We've talked about the elders here. There's a million, and then some things that you see. There's a beautiful summer flower arrangement up here. The communion was prepared. I don't know how many years I was attending church until it dawned on me that just didn't happen. The lights just didn't turn themselves on. The thermostat didn't just set itself. Those things just don't happen by themselves. Somebody has to do that, and somebody has done that for us. There's worker bees. There's people who prepare material to be taught in our Sunday school classes and our Wednesday night classes. There's people who teach that material Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning in classes. There's people who work endlessly. There's people who clean the building. There's people who repair the building. Todd mentioned some of you who've worked tirelessly in a lot of the projects that need to be done here. And a lot of people do that. You don't see them. They don't get to stand up here and have to look at their face. You have to look at mine, I'm sorry. But there's a ton of worker bees. And then there's the people who take the message outside. There's the people who lead the worship at the nursing home. There's people who lead evangelism in the prisons. There's people who take food to kids who desperately need food. There's work that goes on outside the church. And so I think what Paul is telling the church in Corinth with Stephanus and what the scriptures are telling us, we need to be people who submit to the worker bees. Now, it's one thing to sit on my throne and say, now you go do this. That's not Stephanus. Stephanus is the guy who's breaking a sweat. Him and his family are the ones that are working. And Paul says, submit to those kind of people. I don't know what that looks like, but I kind of think it might mean that when somebody's square in the middle of VBS and they're breaking a sweat and they're working real hard and they come to you and say, man, I could sure use some help, I think maybe we need to submit to that. When somebody says, hey, I'm going to go hang some door hangers on some people's doors to invite them to an evangelism class or to our evangelism effort or to a VBS, I think maybe if you see them breaking a sweat doing that, we probably ought to say, hey, I'll clear my calendar. So we're called to submit to Christ as the head of the church. Called to submit to our spiritual leaders for the work that they do. And we're even called to submit to members of our own body of believers. So submission in the kingdom, submission in the church, and now submission in the community. This comes from 1 Peter chapter 2. It'll be on the screen. 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 13. Submitting to the community. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it's God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of the foolish. Live as free men. But do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the King. Our civic leaders, even our civic leaders who are in charge of ungodly governments and may even be ungodly themselves, our civic leaders possess a certain amount of God-given authority. And so to the degree that these human institutions punish those who do wrong and protect those who do right in God's sight, right and wrong, then they carry God's authority. 1 Peter 2, verse 14. Their assignment from God is to punish those who do wrong in God's sight and to protect those who do right in God's sight. To that degree, they are servants of God. And we're called to submit. And one of the reasons we're called to submit is to silence the foolish talk of ignorant believers. I think what Peter means there is it's really hard to accuse Christians of being troublemakers. It's really hard to accuse Christians of being un-American if we are submitting to the rulers, if we're model citizens. It's kind of hard to make accusations, at least accurate ones that stick, against Christians if we're model citizens. Now, some of you may be thinking right now, okay, but, give me an out here. There is a but. There's a limit to this submission that you and I as Christians can offer to our government. God commands us to obey our civic leaders in all things except where obedience to our civic leaders leads us to disobedience to God. The model for that in the scripture is Acts chapter 4. Early in the days of the church, the word's out, the excitement's there, the energy is going, there's a momentum building, and evangelism is just breaking out everywhere. Christ has been raised back up into heaven, raised out of the tomb, raised back up to heaven. The apostles have come. Acts 2's happened. The Holy Spirit's come. Word's coming, getting out. The message is being preached, and it's not setting well with everybody. In Acts chapter 4, beginning about verse 18, a little before that, the scribes and the chief priests have called Peter and John before them because they're sick and tired of Peter and John saying that these Jews crucified Jesus and that he's the Messiah. They just basically tell him, you need to shut up. You're welcome to be a part of our community. We just don't want to hear about your faith. Does that sound familiar at all? In Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 18, Peter and John answer, well, you decide. You're the civic authority here. You're the leader. You're the ones who are in charge. You tell me, should I obey you or should I obey God? And then Peter goes on and says, you know what? I can't help but talk about what I've seen and what I've heard. I can't help but talk about what I've seen and what I've heard. We're going to hear more about that in our next quarter when we start talking about evangelism in the book of Acts. We're going to come to this passage. And so you and I, church, we need to be model citizens until and unless following our civic leaders makes us disobey God. Not until and unless they pass a rule we don't like. Not until and unless we think that road ought to be 75 instead of 65 miles an hour. Not unless and until we think they need to lower our property taxes. But until they make us choose between obeying them and obeying God, we need to submit to our civic leaders. That's a tough one for me. I don't know about you. Because there's some laws I don't really care for. And for most of my life, I think I can still say that. I may live long enough where I can't say that. For most of my life, for most of my working life, I worked in the secular world. And there were lots of rules in the secular world I didn't really care for. There might even be a few rules now I don't care for with my employers. But that doesn't matter. That's not really my purview. I'm called to be a model citizen. And I'm called to be a model employee. And I'm called to be the best I can be in my community. And the only excuse I have not to be is if in doing what someone asked me to do, I am called to disobey God. Submission in the community. Finally, we're going to talk about Christians submitting in the home. Christians submitting in the home. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. The two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you, and you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is called a household code. This is Paul taking what the Romans had for their what made a good Roman household and Christianizing it and said, here's what makes a good Christian household. And when the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to give these guidelines for the Christian home, he inspired him to write at the very beginning, verse 21, this general call to submission. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That means that every member of a Christian household has some aspect of submission to the other members of the household. So, under this general heading of submission, Scripture goes on to specify how each member of the Christian family can and should submit to one another, how they fulfill that commandment. And so, to husbands submit to their wives by loving them with the same kind of gentle, respectful, sacrificial love that Christ had for his bride. Wives, submit to their husbands by allowing them, the husbands, to be the head of the household. Parents, submit to their children by surrendering any right they may think they have to be unreasonable, to exasperate, to provoke, to embitter. And children, submit to their parents through obedience. Church, we need to be willing to submit to our family members. And this is another love language. How do husbands show love for their wives? By putting their wives' needs ahead of their own wants and desires, by loving them the way Christ loves the church. That's a sacrificial love, men. That's not a dominant, overbearing, selfish love. That's a sacrificial love. How do wives show love for their husbands? By allowing the husband to be the spiritual head of the household, maybe even helping them do that. How do parents show love for the kids? By choosing not to exasperate or provoke them. Children show love for the parents by obeying them. So in the kingdom of heaven, the road to greatness follows the servant's path. Roman read for us. He always does a fantastic job. Roman read out of Mark chapter 9, verse 35. If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. This is a tough subject. Submission is a tough subject. But it's one of those things where God has designed us. He's made us, created us, and designed us. And he's told us where we fit, and he's designed us where we belong. And if you remember back in the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, at the end of each day, he would look at, over his creation, and he would say, it's good. I think what he's saying there was saying, everything that I've created today is where I've meant it to be, doing what I meant it to be doing. This is good. At the end of the sixth day, made man and wife in his own image, man and woman. And he said, it's very good. Everything's great. And it was great until it wasn't. Adam and Eve found it tough to be where God wanted them to be, to do what God wanted them to do. He had one rule and they couldn't keep it. We have a much different, more difficult call to submission. In the church, in the kingdom, in the home, in the community. But there's a sense of good, as God describes good, when we are doing what God wants us to do, where God wants us to be, fulfilling his purpose for us in his life. If you don't sense that good in your life, maybe it's time for a change. If you're ready for a change and we can help with that, please tell us how. If you're ready to give your life to Christ, we'd like to celebrate that with the angels. If you need somebody to walk with you and to spend time in God's Word to see what his plan is for your life, we'd like nothing more than to do that. We can serve you in some way. Won't you tell us how? Let's stand. Let's sing.